This is Henry Brickman. You're listening to Sweet Home PCB, and we're talking about grief during the holidays, depression, and some ways to get around that. Try to work around and do the best you can to make the holidays your own and be just a little healthier one day and one moment at a time. Here's my brother, John Brickman, a licensed counselor in Middle Georgia, to help us out a little bit on the subject here on Sweet Home PCB. Dealing with grief is something that you deal with every day and what you do, working hospice and dealing as a licensed professional counselor. For those who don't really understand what your job is, tell me a little bit about it.
Oh, well, basically, I have now gotten out of hospice, but as a bereavement care coordinator when I was working in that, my job is to follow the families after the loss of a loved one for about 13 months, just to kind of check to see how they're doing, help them through their journey of grief, and educate them about the grieving process. And it was a very meaningful time working with their families. And as a professional counselor, I still provide grief support. And pretty much through life, if you have ever loved anyone and lost anyone, you've experienced grief. So it's really a common human experience, and one that is really highlighted during this season of the year.
You and I share a lot of personal grief within our own family, losing our father in August, as well as other family members over the years. And during COVID, we had some favorite people in our family. We couldn't even go see, go to the funeral, which is tough. But some of the people that you deal with day to day, what are some advice that you give them and ways that you help them steer that grief?
Well, part of it is, especially thinking about this season of the year, the holidays are really significant because there are so many memories attached, and those memories are of people. We don't really necessarily, we do think about the food. That's definitely think about the food. But when it comes down to that, we think about the people we've associated with it. Holidays are markers of time. And when we recall memories, I guarantee you we're going to talk about a person. They carry traditions with them. And sometimes traditions change because those loved ones are now gone. And they also capture memories and histories of the families together. I know in our own family, I remember having Christmas, I guess after you were born, we and Uncle Herman had moved to town there. We'd have Christmas at our house and then go at lunchtime to their house. And that was a tradition that we had for many years. And eventually, of course, that changed, going to our grandparents' house and things like that, and that changed with our loss of them. There are so many memories associated with that during this time that we have to remember that we can still carry their memories forward, but also create new memories with those that are still present with us. One thing I think about the challenges of the holiday season is the idea of happy holidays. Everybody expects us to be happy and joyful and cheerful. And without naming particular networks, some networks have continuous broadcast of Christmas and holidays and everything's perfect and joyful. And we think everything has to be perfect. And a lot of times that's our biggest problem with really navigating through the holidays is that sometimes things aren't perfect. The turkey might be burnt. It might be that someone won't be there that should be there, or there might be an argument that takes place, and we have to realize that not everything about the holidays are happy. Unfortunately, this time of year, there tends to be an increase in depression. Between now and Christmas is one of the most significant times of year for depression. A lot of times it's because of expectations. I'm not saying you should have expectations, but I think sometimes we need to make sure that we're being realistic and understanding why we have those expectations. Sometimes there's a sense of sadness and dread as we approach holidays. One thing that I often told families as I was working through hospice was that through that first year of the loss, there's a lot of firsts that take place. The first Thanksgiving, the first Christmas, first birthday, all of these days that come up and events, and it can be rather sad. I really appreciated those families that embraced the holidays and made it more meaningful for themselves. Had one family that the patient that passed had been a, he loved Thanksgiving. He cooked Thanksgiving for the whole family. That's what he, that was his thing to do. So they decided that they were going to cook everything that he liked for Thanksgiving. And through the process, they also had a time of just telling stories about him. So as they ate the food and told the stories, it was like he was there with them. So that made it more meaningful to them. Had another family that the patient died before Christmas, and they decided to wait to celebrate Christmas later in the year. And I think they did it about March. So about 3 months later, they did Christmas with the family. They were ready to do it then. Sometimes we have to make adjustments like that. Sometimes, you know, we recall happier times, but now they may be painful to think about. Sometimes we may feel lonely, desperate, or lost during this time of the year. And so having someone or something to reach out to is very helpful during this time of the year. There's an increase in stress. You know that during this time of the year, higher expectations of ourselves. You know, we got to be super dad or super mom and meet certain standards. Some families compete about getting the best present. You know, they want to outdo the next person or whatever. There's more responsibilities. But, you know, we don't always adjust our lives to compensate for those extra responsibilities. So we have to be careful that we don't add stress to ourselves during this time of year. Another problem is the Santa myth, as I refer to it. I'm not talking about not being a Santa. I did not say that. This is the myth that we have this fantasy about what Christmas is about. Continue to expect, you know, childhood magic. You know, we want it to be like it was when we were children. Perhaps today was perfect as a child, or maybe it wasn't perfect and we long for it to be. There's increased sadness, depression, and disappointment when these things aren't really a reality. That can be very disturbing to us. Many times when we look back, we can find that Christmas weren't really always perfect. There were things that weren't perfect. One of my favorite stories somebody told me many years ago when he was a little kid back during the Great Depression, his precious memory was getting an orange for Christmas because it was hard to get them back then. So at Christmas time, he'd get an orange, and he loved that orange. I always make sure I have oranges now because of my friend. Just kind of remember him, who's since passed too. And that's one way I can remember him at Christmas time. But those are some challenges I feel like we face during this time and trying to deal with. And I think there's two main objectives to get through this. Is one is to make the holidays manageable, and the second is to make holidays meaningful. And that kind of goes back to your question, you know, how can somebody manage these holidays? You know, one thing is you have a right to make choices. Sometimes we approach Christmas or Thanksgiving in these times as if we have to do everything. We have to do everything. No, you can make choices. Or sometimes you can say, no, we're not going to do that this year. We're going to do things differently. You might have somebody who always cooked, you know, the dinner, did all everything. You know, well, maybe this is the year they don't do everything, you know, kind of allow them to do other things. Maybe even order out. That's one thing a lot of restaurants now provide, pre-cooked Thanksgiving meals. Now, that may not be the thing that you want necessarily, but it's an option not to have to be consumed with the holiday. You know, be proactive where and when possible. You know, try to look and see what is it that I can plan ahead for and what I can avoid. But don't avoid what's going on negative with you, but face it with courage and hope. That's one thing I would definitely recommend.
What are some things to consider and keep in mind during this time?
Think about dealing with the holidays, managing them is you know, accepting and declining parties and dinner invitations. You know, some people got all these things they have to go to. Well, you may not have to go to everything. I realize there could be social consequences for that, but at the same time, what are the personal consequences of trying to fulfill a social consequence?
And really, that goes into self-care as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to, because, you know, and it's not intentional. These people don't invite you to parties and say, hey, let's wear them out the best we can, because I think they would appreciate more if you did say no. And one thing I always tell people, no is a complete sentence. You don't have to give a reason. You know, you feel compelled to, because that's, we always feel guilty about saying no, but you don't have to give a reason. You can just decline gracefully and tell them thank you, but you can't make it this time, and maybe next time we'll do something another time. Like I say, what about your, what you're cooking? You know, are you going to have a lavish meal? Do you really have the energy to do all those things? You know, I can tell you for the last 4 years, we've had gumbo for Thanksgiving. That's what we've had for Thanksgiving. You just put it in a pot and you eat it. That makes it as simple as possible. Nothing against turkey and dressing and all that. They're wonderful things, but you can make things simpler. You don't have to have the trappings of the seasons. You know, like for Christmas, should you decorate? Some people say that, you know, have all these things. I always think of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, you know, where they're decorating the houses and almost blow themselves up. You know, some people compete with those things and they feel obligated to do all these things. Well, maybe you don't have to do all those things. Maybe you don't even put up a tree this year. You know, maybe you just have a little tabletop tree or something. You know, what is it that you need to do for you? Now, you may feel compelled to do those things. Then I encourage you to do that. But try to do it with assistance and try to do it within reason of taking care of yourself.
You also have pressure thinking about the kids, right?
Thanksgiving more about, you know, get as much food as you can, probably. But for most people, you know, the holidays are all for the kids to enjoy. And if we focus on them, sometimes that can help us through and manage the seasons. And like you said, with self-care, what's best for me? What is it that's in my best interest right now to do? Because everybody's got the same 24 hours. Everybody has to do what they do. And like the old saying is, you can't give from an empty cup. So if you aren't taking care of you, you're not going to have much to give, and you're probably going to be suffering later in the year from being burnt out. So these are some things I think of as far as making things manageable.
We're talking about grief and depression during the holidays here on Sweet Home PCB with my brother, a licensed professional counselor in Middle Georgia, John Brigman. And John, what about making it meaningful? What are some ways to do that?
Now, creating ways to honor those people that we've lost through the years, how we can honor them. You know, like I said, with the person with Thanksgiving, they provided that meal for them, the favorite dishes that they liked. And that was meaningful to those people. Move from just a relationship of presence to a relationship of memory. We know that those people have gone, but it doesn't mean they can't be there. One tradition that I've heard of in the faith position is they set a table placement for those people they lost through the year. And they'll go around the table and talk about that person and share memories. In those memories, those people figuratively come alive to them and they participate in it. So it helps us to bring those memories up that can be very meaningful. One fellow that I really have enjoyed, Alan Wolfett, made a comment, remembering the past makes hoping for the future possible. You know, we need to enjoy those. There's a lot of great traditions that we've learned through the years. And there's a lot of great people that have come and gone from our lives. But we can build on their memories and build on what they've done in our lives. And I think that can be significant.
I know when you think about the social situations, which are very important, people with depression tend to use isolation to get out of that. What are some ways you think we could try to help them without being making them feel bad about it?
Well, one thing I always tell people is that don't forget to invite them, but be understanding if they don't come. You know, some people say, well, I don't want to bother them. Well, let them decide if you bother them, you know, and, you know, so do invite them. And for those who are grieving, it's really more important for them is don't turn everything down. One thing in talking with people with depression that I gave one person the task that, okay, you can turn down four things this week, but the fifth thing you have to do. And it's amazing how when you get to the three, they got that extra fourth one. They want to save that no for something that they really don't want to do. And they begin to say, hey, I can do things. You know, I have the right to say no. I don't have to say yes to everything. And sometimes that can just be freeing when they know they don't have to do that. Definitely continue to invite and involve that person. And don't be afraid to ask that person how they're doing. You know, don't be afraid to do that. They will probably appreciate it. Try to avoid, you know, telling somebody how they need to, you know, to grieve or whatever, but do it kindly and with compassion. Don't try to, you know, stiff arm them into doing things. But I think that would be something that would be very important.
I know a lot of times, I see myself in it because, it's hard. It's hard sometime this time of year. And I think we all go through a series of depression And a lot of times when you fight that, I know for myself, I lock myself into my work. I'm in the studio. I'm in here just cranking out work. I'm just working. That's one of my coping mechanisms. And sometimes, sadly, you can also avoid the issue. But when somebody does this, what is really a good way to approach it without stepping on toes?
I think those are important things. You know, we all have different coping styles and things that we do. Like you said, some people pour themselves into work. And there's nothing wrong with working hard. But the problem is, if you're the tragic difference to me, the tragic may be too strong a word, between depression and grief is, depression tends to be something that's long term that may or may not be associated with a particular event. But unfortunately, depression is something that is associated with an event and usually is lifelong. Sadly, that's the way that is. The only way to deal with grief is to face the grief. I think there's a good Willie Nelson song that does a wonderful job of talking about that, that we're not trying to get over somebody, we're trying to get through. And we the only way to get through it is to go through it. It can't be medicated or self-medicated. A lot of people turn to alcohol and drugs and to try to do that, but it doesn't help. Depression is helped by medication, but grief is not helped by over-medicating ourselves. We have to deal with the grief, and that can be painful. That can be painful. We may not be able to deal with it all, you know, in spite of what other people say, and I might lose my license over this, but denial is a great thing. Denial is a way that our brain keeps it from collapsing with too much information. It postpones dealing with certain things. So sometimes we do have to cultivate our grief, and sometimes we need to isolate our grief so that we can function. But we need to continue to go back and take it out and work with it so that we can resolve the pain of the grief. Because basically, our purpose is to find out how to hold our grief with less pain. That's what we're trying to do. Because unfortunately, that's, as one person said, the price we pay for loving someone. We want to make sure that we give those people space, like we said, but that person needs to also realize that they have to face the grief at some point. They have to deal with it, but they have to function too. And it's one of those tragic things. How do I hang on to the memory of my loved one at the same time as I move forward? And, we learn and adjust. There are people who have learned to adjust. Do they still cry sometimes? Absolutely. I had one lady tell me that the way she described it when I asked her how she was is, let me tell you this, I go to the grocery store, and I could be having a great time. I go to the vegetable section and I see the vegetables and I think about my husband's garden and I think about him and I just cry there for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And then after a few minutes, I just wipe my eyes and I go on about my grocery shopping. That's the way grief is. Sometimes it'll come and we go through it and we move forward. I think those are key things. One thing that I looked at is that the person needs to give themselves permission to do several things. One thing is to give themselves permission to do what's best for them. Because sometimes we don't, you know, we want to do for other people. You know, we want to take care of everybody else. You know, but sometimes, especially in a time of grief, you need to do what's best for you. Because in the long run, it's best for everybody else. Another is give yourself permission to change traditions. Maybe you won't do things the same way y'all used to do it. Maybe you need to change up certain things. I thought a really neat tradition this one lady told me about that they did is right before Christmas. Lady who had no children, and I don't know if she'd ever been married, not either, but she would call this one person's house to tell the kids that she saw Santa Claus coming in the sky. And that's what she would do every year about 11, about 10:30. And so the kids would all go to bed, and she'd say to her, Santa Claus said, you got to be in bed so that he'll come bring the presents. You know, he's on his way. And they did that every year until she passed. And I thought that was kind of neat that they were able to do that. You might have to change that up. Maybe there's something else you can do.
What about the I should haves that people think about?
We think we should do something, and we don't. There's not really much we should do at a holiday time. You know, there are things we want to do that would be nice to do, but we don't have to do those things. But if we lock ourselves into shoulds, that really messes us up. And sometimes you have to give yourself permission to how you relate to your belief system differently. Sometimes the way you relate to God or your faith may be different in your loss. And as you approach the holidays, sometimes you have to make adjustments. I think those are important things to look at. You got the permission to be sad. You got the permission to be happy. You can cry. You can laugh. You can lower your expectations, and you can find a grief companion. Maybe there's someone in the area that can help you. I hope you have a friend that can. And if you can't, there are counselors, and I know that you have the number for there to call for any kind of help.
Yes.
And I think those are important things to do. We have to give ourselves permission to deal with the emotions. And too often we think we got to have them bottled up. We want to keep a stiff upper lip. And sometimes we don't need to keep a stiff upper lip. You know, I always think of the passage in Ecclesiastes as a time for everything. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to laugh. So in the midst of the holiday season, there's a time for both. We can remember and we can rejoice and we can continue on with our lives.
And it's important to remember we do this in our own way, because not everybody grieves the same.
Absolutely. I always tell people, don't listen to the grief police. There are some people that are going to tell you what you need to do. You know, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. No, you shouldn't. Like I said, don't listen to the shoulds. And, you know, we need to make sure we're taking care of ourselves. One way to take care of ourselves is making sure you're getting adequate exercise. Now, that doesn't mean you got to go run a marathon or anything like that, but, you know, making sure you're taking care of yourself with exercise, making sure your diet's balanced, you know, making sure you're eating properly. And like I said, don't self-medicate. You know, don't allow yourself to fall into the trap of becoming dependent on something to numb your feelings. Because the sad thing is once they're unnumbed, the feeling's still there. Make sure you're getting adequate rest. And sometimes that's difficult to do. So you may need to go to a physician and talk to them about ways you can help deal with lack of sleep or rest. There's a time for tears. It's okay to cry. It's okay to do those things. If you prefer not to cry in public, that's fine too. But it's okay with crying in public. You do what you do, you, as you were saying, Henry. I think that's an important thing to remember.
A lot of times we forget about letting ourselves do it. I go back mm-hmm. to something that happened in our family, which literally changed my life. And that was the brain cancer battle that our cousin Penny had, who really was more like a sister, because what you said, mm-hmm. we Uncle Herman and Aunt yeah. Martha, we've always had Christmas together and always been a big part of the family. And for us, a lot of our cousins are more like brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
And I didn't really think of myself as a caregiver. And I was a caregiver during those years, spending every Thursday night watching $40 a Day with Rachel Ray. That was part of our routine, going to go have coffee, meet at a coffee shop, do something where always I was there just to let her talk, let her do whatever. And it helped mm-hmm. both of us at the same time. We helped each other out with just that moment, what we were going through. And I never realized how important that was. But a lot of times caregivers don't give themselves permission to grieve. They don't know how to grieve. That was the situation with me, because the only thing I could think of was she said that I had to speak at her funeral. And she gave me a little bit to say. But the rest one was up to me. And it's like, you and your brother John are doing this service, and this is what you have to do. And if you don't do it, you know what the consequences are. Well, she hasn't haunted me yet, but it was, well, she was pretty tough. She was a very tough person. And to pass away at the age of 41 was traumatic for all of us, especially her daughters.
Yeah.
And I think that going through that and seeing a lot of times during my life, I really didn't give myself permission to grieve during that
mm-hmm.
because I was constantly on the go. I was programming radio stations. I was doing this. I was going through all that stuff. And then later I just finally crashed. I think my emotions just finally crashed. And it's just like the whole world started falling apart in my mind.
Yeah.
but I didn't understand how to do that. But how do you truly give yourself permission to grieve?
It's a process. You, like I said, you do have to, you really trust your instincts, you know, trust. If you feel like I really don't need to go, that's no problem with that. You know, if you really need to cry, cry, you know, but the hardest thing is to give up control. For some reason, that's the way we are. Mm-hmm. And we feel like, what's going to happen if I do grieve? What if I do start crying? Will I never stop? But the reality is that there are people who are still grieving and still cry at times, but they haven't cried continuously. That's not going to happen. But it will get a chance to get a lot of things released. Tears have some really healing qualities that are important. Talking about it, you know, find some way to acknowledge that loss. You know, find a way to memorialize that. I've spoken to a lot of people, and one thing I talk about is, how are you going to honor the memory of that person? You know, what do you do to honor that person's memory? You know, for some families, it's just kind of developing or using the qualities or lessons that you learned from that loved one. You know, sometimes it could be learning to, there's one person that began a charity to deal with the disease that took her mother from her. And that was her way of dealing with the anger toward the cancer that took her. And it was also a way to honor her mother, who she lost due to the cancer. It could be that you, you know, give to some charity, or start a charity, or work with children. I know a lot of people who are trying to basically build in themselves the character of the people that they admired, that they lost. And those are things you can do. So finding some way to acknowledge them, and also learning to honor your feelings. You know, honor the fact that, hey, I'm not feeling too good right now. And having somebody to talk to, that's the key thing, I think. And sometimes you do need to have a professional to talk to. Now, it can be a licensed professional counselor. It can be a pastor. There are many pastors that are doing an outstanding job of helping people. That may be a friend or another loved one that you can talk to. So I would definitely seek out a companion to walk with you through your grieving process. You know, you'll find the right one as you look.
And, you know, I was thinking about September 11th the other day, and how it was everything would just happen so fast. And I was on the air later in the afternoon, and the first thing I thought of was calling one of our local pastors, Reverend Jimmy Waters, had that conversation up, and I recorded something, and I wish I would have kept it. And he has some really good advice about, you know, how to talk to your kids during a tragedy such as that, and how to really be an active listener. You know, he was talking about active listening before that term became cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things that we also have to remember, is that when somebody's going through something, don't try to be the fixer, be the listener.
There you go. I agree. Because they don't need you to fix them. I mean, I agree with you. They need, like I said, to listen. They need somebody to just kind of be with them and sit with them in their loss. That's the key thing. I always think of the story in Job of the friends that came to Job, that while they were sitting there quietly with their friend, they were doing great. But they messed up when they opened their mouths. So sometimes it's better just to be than it is to talk. So sometimes it works out. Man.
We had an interview earlier in the year with Jessica Ayers, who lost her husband. Their baby was only just a few days old. I just brought him home. Her husband was shot in accidental shooting. Somebody was drunk, was shooting a gun, and it went straight through their house and hit him as he was walking up to go get lunch for the family. It was, and something that she said really resonated in that conversation was the way that you talk to people going through grief. You know, we've all heard he's in a better place. We've all heard that saying, and sometimes we've even said it, but we didn't realize how hurtful it is to that person that's going through the grief.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there are things that we need not to say. You know, sometimes, you know, we mean well, but to say someone, to tell someone that, hey, I'm here for you if you need me, there's nothing wrong with that. But some of those things, yeah. One of my least favorite is God needed him more than you did. That's no. Don't say that.
Yeah. And we had that. We had actually one of our aunts say that to another aunt when their husband passed away. And I remember that. And she didn't quite mean it that way, but that was part of what she learned and understood. And part of that generation probably, because they didn't really think about that part. And it's really, a lot of that's taught. We have to teach ourselves some of these things.
But, you know, but in the end, even if you say something wrong, that's okay. This is the time for both parties to experience grace, because we're human. We're going to make mistakes. There are things that we wish we hadn't done. I don't know anybody that doesn't have things they wish they hadn't done. It's a part of us walking together. I forgot exactly the quote, but one of our purposes for being here is to help us all get home, whatever that home means, whatever that metaphor means at that point. We're here to help each other through, and hopefully we can do that in this season. Some of us are extroverts, and they'll be great at helping other people do that. Some of us are introverts, and we don't want that much help, but, you know, we do want to feel connected. That's the difference. Finding a way for you to feel connected. It may not be going to lavish parties. It may be just staying home and watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Do allow yourself to grieve, and do allow other people to help you. But just realize that some people are going to say things that are hurtful, and we just need to forgive them. It's better to release it, because, like I say, most of the time they don't mean what they say. I've heard some really wild things said to people, and it's okay. You know, we'll be okay. You know, sometimes we have to make choices that are best for us, like I said. And we can say no without hurting people's feelings. You know, hopefully they'll understand. But like I was saying, if you ask somebody something that requires a yes answer, it also can allow a no answer. Because if you don't allow a no answer, you weren't asking, you were telling. And that's two different things. You just need to make sure that you know, we're just gracious. It's a very hurtful and tender time through grief. And if we could just be more understanding of each other, I think that would help us all.
People being understanding is probably the best thing and the best advice, because if you're listening and if you're active listening to what's going on and you can kind of get that connection, for one thing, the person going through the grief and the depression will appreciate it a lot more if you're not nitpicking what they're saying or doing. And they'll pay more closer attention to you. They'll also be a better reaction to hopefully help them day to day. I know that there's a lot of people, especially in the broadcast industry, real estate. I mean, there's so really almost all, every industry there is. There are so many people that are dealing with a form of mental illness one way or another. And I'm not making fun of people. I'm telling the actual truth. Whereas ADD, whereas autism, whether it's bipolar, whether it's any form of depression or generalized anxiety disorder, any of that. Yep. We have to understand, and I think we go back to a time, because even 20 years ago, we didn't really understand these things as well as we do now. I can remember employees that were going through similar things, and then look at me 20 years down the road, I'm going through them. And it's like, how did I react? Well, I don't want somebody to react the way I may have done years ago, because I didn't know. But it takes learning. It takes listening. It takes growing, because if you really want to be there for somebody, be there.
Yes. Yes, definitely do.
Any final thoughts when it comes to preparing for this holiday season?
I think come into it with an open mind and be willing to accept help when offered, but also be willing to say no to help when you don't need it. And it's okay. It's okay to say no to activities. He said, use this as a time to just heal. This is a good time to be doing that. And sometimes it's going to be a time of sadness, and that's okay. And it's okay to share that with someone. If you need some help going through it, there are many wonderful counselors in the area there, and many people, maybe from your faith community that you may want to be a part of, that may be where you want to get it, or a friend. Yeah, so find someone who can just be there for you.
Before we get into final thoughts, I'll just share with you. Of course, I'm talking to my brother John Brickman, who is a licensed professional counselor in Middle Georgia, talking about grief and how to help ourselves during this time of year. One of the things that I did, you know, after Daddy died back in August, is I got more involved in looking at our family history. I took that that DNA thing that and found all these different relatives I didn't even know we had. I mean, I always joked about us having thousands of cousins, but we really do. I think we are really related to half of Coffee County. I found a distant, somewhere along the way, there was a distant, like a third, fourth grandmother that was born in Houston County.
Huh.
And along that same way, and this was on Granny Brigman's side, there was one of her great grandparents actually lived their life just 45 minutes from where my studio is, as well as one of our great aunts who was here in Panama City, and Daddy talking about Aunt Lily and talking about, you know, being in Panama City and talking about the people, family, and all that kind of speared me over the summer to really think more about that. And it has actually helped me with my grief, because I'm taking a look at these things that I knew were important to him. And
absolutely.
And I was able to kind of see these things, and even met a distant relative that is a Harvard graduate. You're thinking of, you know, related to us going to Harvard, taught at Columbia in architecture and is pretty famous and has written books. And ironically, I'm in real estate. So it's kind of like it all kind of works together.
That's funny.
I've had a conversation with her, and she has the same type of relation with her sister as I have with you. It all runs in the family.
All right. Well, I do appreciate you having me on, and I do wish you and your audience a happy holiday season, and I wish the best for you all.
We've got a lot of stuff happening coming up in our next episode. We'll be talking to Rachel Banks, visits Panama City Beach, about home for the holidays, some other events that are going on, some other things that are happening as we prepare for Thanksgiving and Christmas together. So we'll continue this conversation again real soon. I appreciate you listening. From the Sweet Home PCB studio, Keller Williams Success Realty, my name is Henry Brickman. This is Sweet Home PCB.
To buy, sell, or invest in real estate here in the Florida Panhandle, contact me, Henry Brickman, at sellingthepanhandle.com. It's powered by Keller Williams Success Realty. Each office independently owned and operated. Sellingthepanhandle.com. That's sellingthepanhandle.com.